You're listening to media from University Lutheran Church and Student Center. We are a multi-generational, Jesus-centered community of scripture, faith, and grace located in Tallahassee, Florida, on the campus of Florida State University. To learn more and to get connected to other resources, please visit universitylutheranchurch.org. We hope that the next few moments are a time when God speaks into your life by the power of His Holy Spirit about His Son, Jesus Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Three in One who has come to us in the midst of our storms. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, in 1961... there was a moment that at least the people of North Carolina probably would rather forget. And that moment was that in 1961, they were transporting two nuclear bombs from one part of the country to the other. And they had placed these two bombs on a bomber. And they had taken that bomber, and they were flying it from California over to North Carolina. And sure enough, when it was getting into North Carolina, it had what they called a catastrophic wing failure. And you can imagine what it's like being the pilots in that bomber, knowing that you're having a catastrophic wing failure, and oh, what happens to be the cargo that I am toting, but not one, but two massive nuclear weapons. As they were scrambling inside of the cockpit, they ended up deciding that the best thing for them to do was actually to let go of the two bombs. The two bombs actually had parachutes on them, and they were hoping that that meant that even if the plane crashed, then the plane wouldn't ignite the weapons themselves. And so that's what they did. They opened those bomber doors, they let those two boxes out, and they were just hoping and praying that the parachutes would not fail and that the bombs would not explode, resulting in at least 50,000 deaths in the area of North Carolina. Well, what happened was one of the parachutes actually ended up deploying. The other parachute did not deploy. And so what you had was you had this, you know, military-grade nuclear arsenal falling from the sky with nothing to protect it than the box that it was packaged in. And of course, you know how this ended up, because you don't think back in your history and go, oh yes, 1961, that's when North Carolina ceased to be. We just call South Carolina Carolina now. No, you don't say that, because miraculously, the bomb did not explode. They were able to take the bomb, to bring it back, and everything was okay. Nobody got harmed. Everything was all right. Even the pilots were able to land the plane. Whew. I mean, that was a close call. And that's what we see happening over and over again in the readings that we have today in the lectionary. We have these close calls, and we know what that sort of feeling of having a close call feels like. You know, there's maybe something in your life that you can remember that's kind of a close call for you. I have a friend who talks about when he was a little kid, he was going hiking with his older cousins, and these older cousins were taking him on a hiking trail that was maybe a little bit too much for him, and they took him way up on this sort of cliff face, and he remembers looking down over the cliff face and then feeling his feet give way as the rocks and things started to give way on him, and the only thing that saved him is one of those older cousins reached out for his hand and grabbed him and pulled him back. And he has that kind of moment that he still remembers. It's been tattooed to the inside of his brain. And we all have those, probably. those moments where we've had those close calls. And for most of us, those moments aren't just moments that we kind of remember, you know, kind of passively. They're not these moments that we remember rationally or reasonably, but they're these moments that when we even think about them, they start to do stuff to our insides. We start to feel that in our gut. We start to feel that in the hairs coming up on the back of our neck. We start to feel those times when we have been rescued. We've been saved from something that that would have done us in, that would have done something terrible to us. And that's the sense that we have in these readings. And in fact, it probably starts off best with that psalm reading. That psalm reading where it's a worship leader of Israel. He's calling together the people of Israel, and he's causing them to remember a moment. He's causing them to remember a moment, and he says to them, wouldn't it have been terrible, essentially, if God had not been with us in this moment? Let all of Israel say. And then he gets them to kind of say it along with him. And they start to remember the event that they're talking about. Now, we don't know what that is. That's been lost to history. But we know that feeling. We know that feeling of when something went wrong in our lives. And somehow, some way, we were rescued from it. Whether it was something medical that we thought that there was no hope or that something was worse than what it was and the doctors ended up being able to fix it, or the doctors ended up being able to tell us that it wasn't quite as bad as what we had initially thought that it was. Or maybe it was something in our careers or in our schoolwork. Maybe you know, we flunked a test and we thought that it was going to be a whole lot worse for our end grade than what it ended up being. Or maybe you said something really dumb in a meeting. And you knew it was really dumb. And afterwards, and maybe even today, you still sort of get a twitch when you think about it. But it ends up that, well, you know, people didn't hear you, or maybe they misheard you and they thought that it was actually something that was insightful. Whatever it is, you kind of know that moment. You know that moment of what it's been like to be rescued. And that's the moment that the disciples are having right now with Jesus. In this gospel reading, we have this kind of great moment where the disciples kind of learn a little bit about who Jesus is by way of a close call, by way of understanding what could have happened. And it all starts off, this is right after Jesus basically does the Markan version of the Sermon on the Mount. He's been talking to a whole bunch of people, and Jesus says, hey, let's go over to the other side. And the disciples go, hey, you know, we know boats, Jesus. It's good that you said that. Because the way that Mark puts it is not that Jesus brought the disciples along with him, but the disciples were like, finally, a moment where we get to shine. Thank you, Jesus. And they take Jesus with them. That's the way that Mark puts it. And so you've got this kind of sense where the disciples are like, yeah, now, finally, me, as a fisherman, I can get you in the boat. We can take you over to the other side. We've got this, Jesus. You just lay back, take a nap. Well, they get out into the Sea of Galilee, a sea that is well known for being able to kind of switch its mood on a regular basis, on kind of the surprising basis, and they get out into the midst of it. And oh, by the way, boom, there's a storm. Now, it's possible that the reason that there's a storm is that they're on the lake during a time when it was kind of regular for there to be a storm, and they just kind of passed that by, or maybe they knew exactly what they were doing and they just got surprised. Whichever way it ends up, there's kind of this moment that we get to see out of the disciples where all of a sudden they were in charge, and now they're not. Now everything about them being in charge is out the window. And maybe you know that feeling. Maybe you've had that feeling with God before. where you kind of feel a leading from God. You feel like God has asked you to do something, and you're like, oh, sweet. You know what, Jesus? You just lay back. You take a nap. I've got this. And then you get into it. And boom, thunder and waves and everything crazy starts happening. And you start doing what the disciples did to Jesus, was you went to the person who it didn't seem like had any competency at all in this situation. Yeah, it's kind of an interesting moment. The disciples, they are waking Jesus up and they're saying, yeah, don't you care that you're perishing? Now, because of the way that the story ends, we don't get really a sense that they're thinking that what Jesus is going to do when he gets up is to get up and say, peace be still. Because that surprises them. So instead, probably what they're expecting out of Jesus is they're like, oh, we're in a mess. We need to get the rabbi / carpenter up so that he can help us bail out the boat. You know, give Jesus a bucket. Don't you care that you're perishing? Here, start to bail. And sometimes that's kind of how we treat God as well. Sometimes that's how we treat God in the midst of our storms, is we come to God and we have this picture of what we want him to do. We have this picture because, well, we're the competent one in our lives. At least that's the way that it works out in our heads. We kind of go, Lord, I know exactly what you need to do, and what you need to do is get this bucket and start pitching it overboard. And then something surprising happens. Jesus gets up, and instead of taking the bucket, he shushes the storm. Now, there's a lot of really great things about the way that our Bibles get translated. This is one of those weak points. Because when Jesus says, be still and peace in our translation, that sounds very kind of noble and kind of Jesus-y. What he's saying is really more like calmate. Like, you know, just shut up. Shush. And then Jesus turns around to the disciples. And Jesus had just done this to the storm. And now everything is calm. And everything being calm is a good thing. But there's also maybe a thing that's a little bit awkward when you're holding the bucket that you wanted God to use in order to bail out your puny boat. And Jesus looks at his disciples and he's kind of disgusted. He says, do you still not have faith? I've been with you for 4 chapters now. By the way, they still don't get it for many, many chapters. And maybe that feels a little bit familiar to us too. Maybe there's kind of a moment there where we see God looking at us and asking that same question of us. Do you still not have faith? Do you still not get this? All of the times that I've saved you, all of the times I've forgiven you your sins, and yet you still come to me with fear. You come to me with fear for the things that are encroaching into your life. You come at me with fear for the sins that you've committed that you think that I won't be able to forgive. You come at me with fear for all of this stuff, and I'm still here. I'm still here ready to say, shush. To put mute on everything. And there's this moment when everything is muted. There's that moment here, every Sunday that we get together, where we mute everything. Where we, you know, we say some opening lines about how we're sinful and all of that. And yeah, all of those words are good, and they're written there so that you can have those words so that they start to sink into your soul. But then really kind of the moment is that moment where everything goes on mute. And you're left. What we say is reflecting on God's word and what you've been saved from. And you got that moment to think about what it is that God has saved you from. And then you confess those things. You say, here's what you saved me from. Here's the sins that I committed this week. Here's the time where I failed to trust in you. Here's all of the things that could have done me in, and yet they didn't. And I turn around and I proclaim to you the forgiveness of your sins, just so that you're absolutely sure. Because in that moment, you have this amazing opportunity to think about what just happened. You can imagine what the rest of the boat ride was like for the disciples. It was probably a little quiet, you know, probably a little bit of going across the rest of the lake. Mark doesn't tell us what happened during that, but you can imagine that there probably wasn't a whole lot of talking. These guys were sailors, probably not a lot of really terrible jokes. Probably a lot of staring off the bow of the boat and just thinking about what they've been saved from and who this guy is that saved them. It was probably the same kind of moment that they had when they saw him raised again from the tomb. After they had seen him die on a cross. And it's that same moment that you can have. As you remember your sins, as you remember the things that you've done wrong, the things that you need forgiveness for, the moments of unfaith that you have had. And after this church service, after you have an experience of the Word of God, after Jesus has come into your life, just like he came into the boat with those guys, you can have a moment too. You can think about how bad it could have been. But you can also think about the beauty of the fact that what could have been hasn't happened. And God has promised you that, particularly in terms of your eternal life, what could have happened will not happen. Because Christ has died for your sins and risen again from the tomb. As you go out into this week, you're going to have those moments. You're going to have those close calls. You're going to have those times that get your heart beating. And maybe they're memories of things that have happened from long, long ago. Or maybe they're things that just happened this week. And in the midst of those, remember that you have a God who is with you. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this media from University Lutheran Church and Student Center. To learn more and to get connected to other resources, please visit universitylutheranchurch.org. If you would like to financially support more media from University Lutheran, please visit our website and click the Give Now button, which will enable you to engage in the Christian discipline of giving tithes and offerings to God through His church. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift up His face upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.